Well, throughout the 119th Psalm, the psalmist has been driving home to us the wonders of the Word of God. I've mentioned it on several occasions that I believe there are, of the 176 verses, 174 instances that the Word of God is either directly referenced or alluded to by the psalmist. And you would think that come now to these last few verses of this psalm, he'd have nothing else to impress upon us, but that isn't the case. In fact, we see something here that has happened over the course of the study of the Word of God by his servant. It's had a profound impact upon him. And we see that in three things. One, we note here the humble approach of the man of God before his Lord. Second, we'll be looking at his comfort and confidence, the result of his studies. And third, an acknowledgement of our need, or his need, to be shepherded, his need for the Good Shepherd. And so let's look at this passage a little more closely. We see here that as he begins in those first two verses, he is crying out to God, praying that God would hear him, would hear his pleas. And this after he has spoken to us of God's faithfulness, his righteousness, his holiness. After he has attested on several occasions throughout 119 of God's faithful deliverance of him. And yet we see that as he has grown in the knowledge of the Word of God, one thing that has not happened to the man of God here is that that knowledge has not puffed him up. It has not been the kind of knowledge that would cause him to become more self-confident, but rather it has caused him to realize his absolute need and dependence upon the God who has given his word. Such that we hear within his cry in verse 169 and 170, the awe of the psalmist, the one who has become acquainted with the word of God, who has studied the commandments, the precepts, the testimonies of God. And now when he cries out to God, he realizes the greatness of God, and thus he is coming in humbly, bowing down before the Almighty God, pleading for God's continued mercy to be shown to him. We see that this understanding that God has been pleased to bring about through his word for the psalmist yields a sense of awe in the presence of God. And so he doesn't cry out assuming anything of God, but rather he cries out pleading with God that God would be pleased to hear him when he calls, to hear his pleas. And we see here, as we've seen in previous sections of this long psalm, that here what the psalmist wants is not an eradication of his troubles as he sees fit, but rather in accord with the word of God. He asks God to act consistently with what he has revealed of himself. And so he cries out, God, give me understanding according to your word. God, deliver me according to your word. You see, there's nothing more that the psalmist hopes than to see all that God has revealed of himself carried out. He knows that is the best. That is what God intended and lovingly entrusted to us when he revealed himself. And so he has a sense as he cries out to God of God's grace and mercy as God who reigns on high would bow his ear to hear little old me. We see that after he speaks to God in this way, after he cries out that God would be pleased to continue to write his word upon his heart and to make him understand the word of God, that he's greatly comforted by this. We see the comfort of the psalmist listed there in verses 171 and 172. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. We see here that the natural outworking in the heart of the man or woman of God, as God is pleased to write his word upon their hearts, as he is pleased to work within them to give them understanding through the work of the Holy Spirit, will be to bring about praise. As God is pleased to make these things known to us, we marvel at what his hand has been doing. And it wells up within us. This idea of our lips pouring forth praise has this idea of a spring where the water comes up and pours forth from it. You see, this is to be a fruit of God's work within our hearts. That as we grow in our understanding, as we understand the work of Christ, that the natural outworking of that will be that our hearts will be filled to overflowing with thanksgiving and praise to God for what he has done and what he has been pleased to do, even in us. You see, our lips will pour forth praise. This is also what drives our outward witness, not only amongst ourselves as we have opportunity to testify to what God has been doing in our lives and the understanding that he's been pleased to give us through our study of his word, through our devotions and our Bible studies and the preaching of the word. But also it is this praise that pours forth from us that often is used of the Lord to catch the ear and the heart of those around us who do not know and do not have that same hope that is ours in Christ. And so from these hearts that are filled to overflowing comes forth the witness of the church to its community, to share the glorious gospel of Christ, to attest to the goodness of God with the hope that God will continue to draw men, women, and children to himself. Again, as I mentioned at the outset, this kind of understanding, this kind of knowledge that God has been pleased to bring about within his people doesn't cause them then to lean upon themselves. You see, oftentimes we have a tendency to enlist God's support only when all other options fail, because our first tendency is to lean upon our own strength, our own cunning, our own intelligence to deal with problems, and then we save God as that last resort when all of my opportunities to solve my problem have failed. But that isn't the way God works within the lives of his people. No, as we gain that understanding, we realize from whence it comes. We realize that this is given by God. And thus we can understand then when the psalmist gets to verse 173, he is crying out to God, "Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts." We read the passage earlier from Luke 15 of the shepherd going after his lost sheep. And here we're beginning to see that David has a sense of his being a sheep, his need of a shepherd, that he would here understand the comfort and the confidence that is his as he stays close to that one who is his protector, that one who is the one who will see him safely to pastures that are green, that one who will deliver him from harm's way. And so it is he leans upon that good shepherd, asking him to be the one who would be his defense, be the one who would come to his aid when he cries. I used to marvel when I would watch my grandfather work with his sheep. You know, when my brother and I would work with the sheep would scatter. They didn't know us. But they knew the shepherd. They knew the one who would bring the feed and who would care for them and who was there attending when the lambs were born. And the sheep would always gather around my grandfather. They stayed close to the shepherd because they felt a sense of security in his presence. Well, here we see David demonstrating that same tendency as a sheep to stay close to God. Staying close to God through the regular study of his word, staying close to God in communication, crying out to him, and then staying close to God as he entrusts his difficulties, his problems to God to work these things out. He knew that there was nowhere that he would be in better hands, nowhere where he would be safer than in the presence of his shepherd. And then he goes on to further acknowledge his need as we go through this. He says, I long for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you. The psalmist saw each and every day that God was pleased to give him as an opportunity in which he could relay the goodness of God. He could attest to God's deliverance. He could sing praise to God to those who were around him and be used as an agent of light to those who needed to hear that glorious message. And as we read through this, we think he's got all of these things together. Certainly he would be confident then in himself, but he isn't. He goes on at the end in verse 176. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. David, the one who is recalled in Scripture as a man after God's own heart, the apple of his eye, and yet we know from our study of David's life that David didn't always act as he was supposed to. He did stray. He had seasons where he was caught up in his sin. And David is very keenly aware that there are those accounts that are recorded within the Word that we're knowledgeable of, but he would be aware of many more that plagued him each and every day of his life. And so here he humbly pleads with God again, saying, God, I am a straying sheep. You are the good shepherd. Lord, do not allow me to continue to stray. Do not continue to allow me to wander away from your words. But rather, Lord, seek me. Lord, find your straying sheep. Bring me back into the fold. He cries to God to be brought in, that he would not forget God's commandment. David understood he still had great need. And sometimes that can be difficult for us. We will forget our need. The busyness of life will sometimes cause us to be so consumed with what's going on around us, we won't be aware of those needs and rightly placing ourselves and pleading with God to deliver us. No, we have here in the example of David one who understands his need and is quick to call out to God from the very beginning of this to the very end. He cries out, have mercy on me, Lord, humbly approaching him. We see his comfort and confidence as here he can be confident in the word of God to both give him instruction and direct his steps, but also that God will be pleased to continue to write his word upon his heart and his mind. And we see him continuing to be humble, understanding his need for the shepherd, and pleading with God not to allow him to stray. And so may it be with us. May God be pleased to cause us to so yearn for his instruction that we will diligently seek his face within his word, that we will not overlook this avenue of prayer when we are troubled, but rather we will seek His face and entrust ourselves to His most capable hands to care and to deliver us. That we will not seek to be willful sheep who would wander and follow our own desires, but rather that we will, like good sheep, find our comfort in the presence of our shepherd, and that we'll delight to be with Him and around Him, led by Him each and every day of our life. Let's look to God in prayer. Almighty God, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for the riches of Your word that You have been pleased to preserve for us. Lord, may we not be negligent in plumbing the depths of Your word. Lord, may it not be an afterthought in our day, but rather, Lord, may it begin our day, may it season our days, and may it be something that at the end of the day we would contemplate as You have been pleased to use Your word to guide us throughout our day. Lord, we, like sheep, tend to stray and wander. Lord, when we lean upon our own understanding, we get ourselves into problems, into difficulties and snares. Lord, we sorely need our shepherd. And we are greatly comforted, Lord, to know that You are ever with Your people. Lord, that You have given to us Your Holy Spirit to dwell within us, that we might understand Your word. And Lord, we thank You that You are not negligent of Your shepherding duties. But as we read in Luke 15, when one of Your sheep stray, You leave the 99 behind to pursue that lost sheep. And You put that sheep over Your shoulders and You carry them back into the safety of the fold. Lord, we pray that if we have begun to stray, Lord, if the world is beginning to call us and draw us away from You, Lord, that You will be pleased to retrieve us. Draw us back, Lord. Remind us once again of Your word. Write Your word upon our hearts and our minds, that we, Lord, might rejoice in it, that our hearts may sing with thanksgiving for what You have done. Lord, we pray that You would be pleased in the coming days, weeks, and months, and years to use this, Your body, to be an effective witness in this community and in the surrounding communities, to speak of our good shepherd. Lord, that as we grow in our appreciation for Your word, that we might with greater confidence speak with our neighbors of Your word, that we might give ourselves to the instruction of our children, and that You may be pleased, Lord, for our children to write Your word upon their hearts and minds, that they'll never be apart from it. But rather, Lord, it will guide and direct each step that they take to the glory of Your name, to the strengthening of Your church, that Your name may resound in this community, this state, this nation, and throughout the nations of the world. Lord, we pray these things humbly in reliance upon You to do them. We pray these things in our great shepherd's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.